okay? Let me just read to you. Remember when the sons of Zebedee went to Jesus and they said, hey, when you come into your kingdom, you know, how about letting one of us sit at your right hand and one of us sit at your left? And what they were asking for was positions of authority, a hierarchical sort of place where they would be elevated above the rest, right? Where they would have greater authority and have greater honor than the rest of the disciples. And it says, when the 10 heard about this, I'm reading from Matthew 20, 24, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant. Imagine that. With the two brothers, Jesus called them together and said, now listen to what Jesus said. He said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So he's saying, this is the way that the Gentiles do things, kind of similar to what God had set up in the Old Covenant, where there was a system of hierarchy. In other words, there's places of position, and based on where you are within the flowchart of hierarchical authority, that established what kind of authority you had over people that were below you. Okay, we're all familiar with that system. Jesus is saying, that's the way the Gentiles do it. And when you read Gentiles, what you need to hear, because what they heard, is that's the way the heathen do it. That's the way the Jews considered the Gentiles. That's the way the heathen, that's the way the people who aren't God's people exercise authority over one another. And then he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now he went on, right before he confronted the people who loved the places of authority, the hierarchy of the time, religiously, which was the Pharisees. Remember, he said they love being acknowledged in the marketplace. They loved wearing clothes that showed who they were. They loved being greeted by words like rabbi and teacher and priest and father, whatever. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, with those words, those two passages right there that we just read, Jesus destroyed forever within the kingdom of God and amongst his people any sort of system of hierarchical authority. Now, what was it replaced with? That's the question, right? What kind of system of authority was it replaced with? Well, it was replaced with the kingdom of God. Because now, for the people of God, who is supremely over them and relates to them and leads them and guides them in every way? The Lord does. God the Father, God the Son, and administered by God the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we can, on the earth, in our expression of authority as the people of God on the earth, we can never get into any sort of system that looks anything like this. And yet, that's exactly what we've got, isn't it? Because these priests are now, whatever you want to call them, clergy, ordained ministers. You know, it's a system of setting people above the others and giving them a place of hierarchical authority, which is totally inconsistent with the scriptures. Now, does that mean we don't have leadership in the church? No, it doesn't mean that. Let me show you what it does mean. Because here's what authority looks like in the kingdom of God now, is you have the people, one big group. Now we're talking about those who are in Christ, right? We have the people, and from within the people, you have people who are leaders. You have people who are teachers. And you can go on and say whatever. but they're not elevated above everybody else. They're just functioning within the equality of the body in accordance with how the Holy Spirit gifts them to operate. And that's how Paul says in the new creation, you know, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer male or female. There's no longer slave or free. All of the things that used to differentiate mankind one from another, the socioeconomic things, the gender things, the race realities that before distinguished who was who, those are all now gone. Because we're all clothed with Christ. And now, you know, the only authority now is Christ. As administered, you know, God the Father, obviously, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, one of the things we need to do in order to get freed from abuse of authority that we've probably all experienced is understand what authority in the kingdom of God looks like. And it no longer looks like this. Now you can see how that relates to, begins to relate to male-female relationship and a husband-wife relationship. Because really, a husband-wife relationship is not supposed to look like husband up here and wife down here. No, it's husband and wife together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. What's so funny? I said it's not supposed to be like that. We're both lumped in the big oblong circle together. You know, the Lord really wants to set us free to experience fully the authority of the kingdom of God. And with so many other things, what we have to do in order to experience fully what the Lord has for us is be freed from the wrong thinking, the abusive kind of teaching that a lot of us have been under and that a lot of us have actually taught before. Present company except, well, no, I can't even say that. I mean, he really has put us in a people. We are interconnected with one another. It really is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, for recognizing who is leaders, who's teachers, who's whatever, you know, any way that the people of God function within the body, we just recognize where the Holy Spirit's gifting is. Yeah.
I understand the fact that you don't have an intermediary anymore between you and God and Christ.
Right.
So, but within the concept of everybody in the same sphere,
right,
there still is, I think it's scriptural, as you do ministry, as you perform within the world, if you will, or within the church, there is a, you operate under an authority. Help you there.
Okay. All right. I believe I do. Okay, within an authority, and that authority is the body of Christ and the headship of Christ. All right? Again, I think one of the most abusive, abusive and incorrect teachings that's gone throughout the body of Christ is the covering teaching. Okay? That we need to be covered. That's not nowhere in Scripture, covering. The only place that talks about covering is women are supposed to have their head covered in worship. Which that's totally a different issue that we'll talk about later when we get. I said we were going to handle all the hard issues this year, right? No, I mean, covering is not a scriptural principle. I mean, the reason God had to set this up to begin with was because Israel, when they were redeemed from slavery in Egypt and came to the mountain at Sinai, God wanted them to come and, you know, he called them to be a kingdom of priests not just a kingdom with priests, but a kingdom of priests. And he wanted them to hear his word on the mountain, but they drew back because they were afraid. And what did they say? They said, Moses, you go up in our place. You hear what God has to say, and you come back and tell us. And in doing so, what they did was they placed an intermediary between themselves and the Father. And so God said, all right, okay, well, this is the way it'll be. But it actually didn't devolve totally into that, because remember, when the people, the nation of Israel first went into the promised land, God said he wanted to be their king, right? He didn't set up a king for them. Why did they get a king? Because they said they wanted to be like all the other nations around them. But Lord, please, give us a human king. Give us a man king. And they rejected his authority. They rejected his kingship over them. And so he gave them a king. And you know what he said when he gave them the king? Well, be ready to have for him to abuse his authority. That's exactly what he said. He's going to tax your children. And so it's not that there's not authority, okay, within the people of God now. It's collective. It's not hierarchical in any way. It comes as a function of the Holy Spirit working and moving in amongst the people. Well, again, that's a corporate thing. Yeah, I mean, everything now functions not, and again, the way to look at it is not by a hierarchical system where you have a set of, here's this position, you got these, and these down here, and these down there. Because what happens when you have this kind of system that's based on hierarchy, what happens when the person up here dies or leaves or whatever? You're just looking for somebody to fill this position, right? And quite often, it's somebody who's not gifted or anointed to be in that position. You're just filling a position, and so the authority is based on the position rather than on the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, well, yeah, you know, yeah, authority, you know, by its nature, what we just read, what does authority in the kingdom of God look like? Service. Not lording it over somebody else. Not saying, okay, I'm up here and you're down there. No, genuine authority within the kingdom, and again, it's not authority that elevates you to a position. It comes through serving and through giving of oneself for the benefit of another, which is encouragement. For the betterment of another. That's what love is, right? Giving of yourself so that someone else will experience the best that they possibly can in their lives. And so, you know, we want to see how God has established authority within the kingdom so that we can, you know, move in that and be free from an authority that actually, because what often happens, you know, abuse of improper authority, you know, it's got the potential to abuse people, but it's also got the potential just to limit them from coming into the fullness of what God has because the authority is the ceiling. With the authority is Christ, we see Christ, you know, he wants us to come into the absolute fullness of what he has for us. There is no limit. If he is the ceiling, so to speak. Right. You might have any questions? Okay.
Are you saying that, I don't think you're saying that you do not see yourself as in a position of authority as pastor of Jesus?
Okay, I have some authority here, okay, on a number of scriptural levels. Okay, and now talking about relating to the scriptures. The one is the Lord called me and Catherine to plant the church. And so Paul said that he had authority over the churches that he planted. And it was, now I'm not saying this in any way relating myself to him. All right, but he said he had apostolic authority that came from the fact that he had planted the churches. And so, yes, there is a degree of authority that comes from there, but it's not because of a position that I have as the pastor of the church. Now, I also have authority as someone who's gifted to be, you know, a leader. And so, but I'm not going to lord that authority over anybody else by telling them what they need to do or whatever. I could probably count on less than one hand the number of times I've come and exercised my authority in an area where someone didn't want my input. And I would call that lording over somebody. Now, so, yes, I have authority, but I cannot, you know, that doesn't separate me from the rest of you, okay? The authority that I have doesn't look anything like this, where I am separate from the body, and nor should it look like that way anywhere within the, you know, within the kingdom of God. We are, you know, we have authority based on serving. Now, another, you know, level of authority that I have here is, you know, we've served this church for 12, 13 years, whatever. I mean, we've always given into it. We've never taken out of it. This place is here because we've given. I mean, it's, you know, CPI, this is, the space is provided. You know, it's the electricity bill. I mean, all this stuff is, and we've never taken a dime out of the church. We've never, you know, now, I'm not saying that to say, you know, to elevate ourselves in any way. I'm just saying what's so. I mean, so that, yeah, there's a level of authority that comes from having served this body for 12 years. But that's not, that's not an authority that comes because, you know, because of a position that I hold. It's an authority that comes because of functioning. And that's the difference. You know, in the new covenant, authority is a matter of function and not a matter of position. And so we've got to get away from our thinking about a positional authority and into a thinking of functional authority. Why is it that there are leaders within the people? Our teachers within the people. It's because that God has, the Holy Spirit has gifted them to function in that way. Now, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Well, one of the problems with this style of leadership and authority here is that it truncates and, you know, it causes the people to stop functioning. You know, when you look at it in the expression of just the New Testament Christianity today, I mean, most lay people, this is what's called lay people today, okay? Most lay people figure that they're paying these people to do the ministry, right? So therefore, I don't have to. I'm not released into it. I can't do it. I haven't been trained for it. I'm not ordained for it, whatever. All of that's just not true. Right. You know, what collectively do the work of the ministry. You know, we collectively, I mean, one of the functions that we should be doing here is preparing ourselves collectively for the work of the ministry. That's Ephesians 4. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Okay, now getting free into the way that we ought to be functioning as the people of God means coming into an understanding of mutuality. You know, just because one person is gifted to be a leader doesn't mean that the gift, the leadership gift, is better than all of the rest. No, not at all. I mean, no, the Spirit is moving us and gifting us so that we will function together mutually for the sake of the body as a whole. So I would reject any sort of teaching that would elevate one gifting above another, and yet we often do that within charismatic churches. You see it all the time. I mean, you know, who's traveling around doing ministry? Well, it's those who have a real high prophetic gift or real high healing gift or whatever, because everybody wants to be wowed, see the show, whatever. Well, we do want to be free from that, looking at one another and elevating, and because, you know, inevitably when you elevate one, what are you doing? You're diminishing the other, right? You're diminishing the others. And that's not the way that God has designed the body of Christ to function. And so, yeah, I mean, freedom comes in functioning without caring about how the structure of authority. We want to be free from the structure of authority and to move in the function of authority. Yeah. What happens all the time? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, we all have the ability to function completely and totally as the Holy Spirit gifts and leads us. Okay? Now, I think that, you know, the Scripture is pretty clear that some people are gifted in particular areas and other people are gifted in other areas, and the idea then is fitting together. I'm going to have to disagree a little bit with something you just said, okay? And that is that I don't believe that Jesus did miracles to draw crowds so that he could minister. If anything, I think you see the opposite. he would go and hide when the crowd showed up. I mean, the crowds would be there, and then he'd go and be off by himself. The way that many crowd drawing ministries function is not so that we can gather people together to minister to them. Huh? Oh, yeah, don't let your cynicism get in there, Tricia. All right, but you're on the right. Absolutely. They came. See, when the kingdom of God comes in its authority, what happens is that oppressed people are drawn to it because they've been burdened and held under an oppressive authority, which is opposite from the kingdom of God, which is actually the authority that Satan exercises, which is the authority, which is the lordship of hierarchy. Jesus and the kingdom want to set us free from that, and the people who most need to be set free from that are those who are on the lowest part of the totem pole, the ones who are most oppressed, the sick and the weak and the demon-oppressed and the poor. That's why Jesus said, when John the Baptist said, wait a minute, the Messiah hadn't shown up the way that I expected him to. I expected him to come with great signs and power and overthrow of the Roman government. And remember, he was in prison and he doubted whether Jesus was even the Messiah. And he sent messengers to Jesus and said, are you the one that we should expect? Because you sure don't look like, now I'm paraphrasing here, you sure don't look like what I expected as the Messiah. And Jesus said, go and tell him that the dead are raised, the sick are healed, the demon oppressed have been set free, and the poor have had the kingdom preached to them. Those on the lowest part of the hierarchical totem pole are now being set free by the new rule and authority, which is the kingdom of God. See, to me, the reason Jesus did all those miracles, yes, it drew people, but the reason he did it was to show that there was a new authority system in place now in him and going to be from him, and that authority system was the kingdom of God. No longer will you be oppressed by rulers in hierarchical authority over you, the worst of which is Satan. Now you're going to be set free into a new realm of authority based on, his kingship, but our mutuality and equality as the people of God, empowered and moving by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I mean, he said that we would move in greater stuff. Go ahead, Fair. Oh, I know, yeah. No, you didn't say that, and we didn't hear that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now, so... Right. So what was so unique about his authority is it never came into a room to lord itself over others. It always came in to serve and to love. And that's the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. Yeah, absolutely. It changes people. It's so radically different than what we've come to expect in the world. And so we need to stand firm against any way the church started looking like the authority system of the world. And what I'm getting at, last week we talked about, the male-female relationships, is, that's the way that most people present a male-female relationship. The males are here and the females are down here, right? But that's totally not scriptural. Okay. Well, there's we can pick and choose scriptures everywhere and try and form a doctrine off of them. That's not correct. we are to mutually submit to one another. The wives submit to their husbands as the husbands submit to Christ. Well, that's a system of teaching us what true authority is all about. You can't teach wives submit to your husbands, without also teaching husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, which is part of that. You know, who are we to be totally submitted to? Christ, right? Is there any lordship or oppression in being submitted to Christ? No, it's, you know, what are we submitting to? How did Christ love the church? He gave his life for the church. He gave himself for her benefit. It was sacrificial love. There could be no greater power to be under the authority of and submit to than sacrificial love. And what happens in the church is we teach, you know, the men over the years teach wives submit to your husbands, but at the same time, they're not loving their wives the way that Christ loves the church. There could be nothing more beautiful, no greater place of freedom than being submitted to sacrificial love. And that's the picture that's being shown in the entirety of that scripture. And yet people will take this little piece out, combine it with other stuff taken out of context, and form a doctrine that says, no, things look like this, and they don't. They look like this. Even in a husband and wife relationship, there's an equality and a mutuality. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, you know, woman came from man, but then God turned it around so that what? Man came from woman. There's a mutuality shown there. Yeah, well, see, to me, I think that's a misapplication. Okay, all right, the question is, in a husband-wife relationship, right? Oh, okay, well, oh gosh, no, well, definitely no then. Yeah. Well, yeah, sometimes leaders are required to lead in a certain direction, okay? And yeah, so that's, I see what you're saying. But that's not, that should never be me saying, okay, we're in disagreement, therefore we're going to do it my way. No, when we're not in agreement, you know, we just want to seek even more the Lord's way. Yeah.
Pastor Grace, just listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells you something like how church should go.
Where'd Emily go?
I'm sure Pastor Gray would pray that the Holy Spirit would seek the Spirit's guidance. And in a way, you guys are both following the same. You're following the same leader.
Right, but I still have to tell you, there still is a system of leadership.
Well, you know, okay, okay. Now, obviously, according to Scripture, in a meeting, there should be order, okay? I mean, it's not that things don't go wild. For instance, Emily, come up here. I'll use you as an example. All right, so Emily got a word from the Lord during worship that she felt like somebody had a pain in their ear that needed to be healed, that the Lord wanted to heal, okay? So she's got a couple of choices. She can either stand up and interrupt everything and say, you know, I've got this unction, we're going to heal, and the Lord wants to heal somebody's ear. But, you know, that would not be doing something in a meeting in order, right? She wants to, you know, do things in order. And so she came to me and said, told me that she had this feeling, this unction, this word of knowledge is really what it is. And then just said, okay, you know, basically left it to me to decide what to do with that. Okay, I think that's appropriate. Now, I might miss it totally. you know, I might say, okay, well, I might forget about it, or I might just say, okay, well, I don't think that's of the Lord, and then the Lord, it really was of him, you know, so, but she did the right thing by coming and saying it to me, so that me as the leader of this meeting, okay, could do with it as I felt like was necessary. All right, now, why does the Lord heal? Well, he wants to set people free from the oppression of his enemy. Now, does that always happen? No. All right? But that's why he moves us to feel, get a word. You know, there's a gift of the Spirit, a word of knowledge, which she got. So, is there anybody here whose ear is hurting? Now I've put you on the spot. Is there anybody here who's having pain? Okay, Christy, come on up here. All right, now, so Emily got this word, and so she got the, you know, the Holy Spirit moved her to feel this, and so I'm going to have her pray for Christy now, okay, to see, you know, just to allow the Lord to complete what he had moved in her heart to do, okay?
To start with the right, so I'm going to start there. So, you have a shell necklace on, and he said that he wants to hold a shell up to your ear and let you just hear the waves of the ocean, of the beautifulness of his creation, and there's victory in that. Like we sang today, that all things will submit to his throne. Those things in nature are, and they cry out for him. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would be able to hear that in this ear. You would restore it to 100% efficiency, he says. He says he dotes on you, and he has a real love for you in that way. Very special in that way. Lord, if there's anything in the ear that is not functioning properly, we just call down in Jesus' name for the power to restore it and ask for your healing power, your anointing of love, Christy, here. Thank you, Lord, so much for that. Restore any equilibrium here, Lord, that might be lost, if there's any loss of balance or any unsure footing that also might be affecting the spiritual world as well. So I call down the victory in that, in the healing, in the physical, in Jesus' name. I pray if you have any pain in either one of the ears, that you would just feel a warm sensation. And in the one that has pain, you said it's this one, right? He said he has an ointment and oil to put in it, so I don't know if anybody will physically give you that oil, or if you can just, because I feel like it's something that has to be applied, kind of like medication, but so I'll start here, like the doctor does, and just ask for the holy oil of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture to just come in there and cleanse it and heal it in Jesus' name, just that you would be able to hear, and there would be a restoration in that.
All right. All right, well, this is totally different than what I planned on talking about this morning. But I appreciate your questions. I mean, it's an important topic. And what I wanted to do, actually, as I felt like I was supposed to mention this briefly, I felt like at the end that we should just ask the Lord, who is our authority, who is our head, to really come and to teach us about this. Now, over the next, you know, weeks and months, that we would really know how he's established authority in his church. Because, you know, really, you can't look at the body of Christ without appraising that it's not functioning the way that Scripture says it should. Okay, but duh. You know, including us. All right, we're not immune from that. You know, and I think a lot of the reason for that is this. The people have been stifled. Not because of the clergy, because really the clergy is there because the people don't want to do the ministry. Right? I mean, it's a lot easier to write a check than it is to love somebody unconditionally and to minister to somebody. Right. Yeah, and yet, you know, what we were going to talk about today, and we'll talk about next week, is, you know, the scripture in Romans 8:26, that it is the Spirit who helps us in our weakness. I mean, even though we're new creatures, we're still living in the weakness of the human condition, and we are still subject to fear and doubt and, you know, just list it all out. But it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to overcome. It's the Spirit who helps us in our weakness. And we need His help. And so, you know, what I want to do is just, you know, it's not an easy topic because it's so fundamental and it affects so much, you know, it works its way through every relationship within the body, the whole nature of authority and what it means. I mean, and there are hard questions. You know, because one of the hardest things I've had to learn is, all right, you know, because, oppressive authority on one end is bad, but, you know, just no authority on the other end is just as bad. And we know that the authority is Christ, and so how do we as leaders and people, you know, function within the understanding of the way that Christ has formed the body? And, you know, so those are hard issues that we need help. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So I just want to pray, first of all. One of the things that has been most striking to me as a pastor over 12 and a half years, or however long it's been, is how many people are terribly wounded because authority has been abused in their lives, in the church. And they've withdrawn or disconnected or just whatever because of that. And so the first thing I want to do is just pray that we'll be set free from the effects of abusive authority wherever we've experienced them. Then I want to pray that the Lord would begin to teach us what the body really looks like from His perspective, and the way we are to function together, so that we can be liberated and freed into functioning the way that we're designed to be. You know, and there's a lot of hard issues with that. I mean, what does a meeting look like? It can't look like everybody in charge. I mean, there's got to be some order, but then it also shouldn't look like just one person in charge. We should be functioning together as a body, and so that's a hard issue. We need help to function the way that we're supposed to. So, Lord, thank You that You are the healer and the restorer, Lord. Lord, I thank You that just with one move of Your presence, one touch, that You really can bring a lifetime's worth of healing. We thank You that You have that much power, that there is that much authority vested in You by Your Father in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray for every single one of us who has been abused or has suffered from an oppressive and unholy authority. Wherever there's been woundedness, wherever there's been withdrawal, wherever our gifts and callings have been truncated because we've been stepped on, Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and restoration. Lord, we thank you that everything is moving toward your throne. We thank you that with your kingdom came genuine and powerful authority on the earth. We thank you for the King, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the liberty and the freedom to be your people the way that you designed the body of Christ to be. Lord, help us to read and to understand the scriptures. Lord, help us to move by your Spirit into genuine and healthy authority, one to another, and with leaders, to other people in the church. Lord, we want to function together. We want there to be that mutuality that you designed, where the various parts of the body fit together for the sake of the whole. Lord, we confess that we don't know really, completely, and fully what it's supposed to look like. And so we ask for your help. Lord, thank you that you help us in our weakness. That though we see in part and know in part, we know that you see fully and you see completely. You see the beginning from the end, and you know where you're taking us. You know the path that we need to walk to get there. And so, Lord, just the way your scripture says in Romans 8 there, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and that you intercede on our behalf in accordance with the will of God. And so, Holy Spirit, we're asking for your help. We're asking that you would free us from everything that's kept us out of what you've called us to be, and that you would equip and enable us to move fully into every bit of fullness that you have for us. Lord, I pray for every single member of your body that they would be freed and equipped and empowered to function exactly the way that you've called them to. That we would function together as one for the sake of your testimony and the revelation of who you are on the earth. Lord, we want the world around to see how beautiful you are, how amazing your love is. See the splendor and the majesty of your plan and what genuine love can do, even in the midst of a fallen creation.
Jesus, we thank you that you are head of this body. We ask that you would nourish and knit us together by the power of your love, that you would supply everything needed for every joint by the power of your love.
I think that's the end.
All right. Does anybody have any other quick questions? All right. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you. Well, we just ask that the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.